Hi, this is Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, an educational talk radio show for dog lovers out there who want to learn everything about our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Both Karen and I are professional dog trainers in New Jersey, and we want to make sure to answer any questions you might have about your own dogs. You're always welcome to call into our program with any questions or comments throughout our 30-minute show. So get a pen and paper and write our number down. It's 856-227-1360. Again, that's 856-227-1360. And the lines are now open, so please give us a call. Because of the holiday season, Karen and I have been discussing Christmas puppies. So many people purchase puppies at this time of the year, and then reality strikes when we all realize just how much work those furry little creatures can be. It's about as much work as having a human infant, but the challenges are just a little bit different. If you didn't hear the show last week, and you want to listen to more information about raising puppies during the winter, please go to my website, jerseydogtrainer.com. Click on the page marked Rainey's Radio Show. You'll see the podcast on that page under the category of training. You can also listen to that podcast if you go to Karen's website, which is mybestfrienddogschool.com. So stay tuned to learn all about how to house train your puppies. We're also going to be discussing the chaos and scary sounds of New Year's Eve, like people shouting, fireworks, and noisemakers, and how that affects puppies and even older dogs. We're also going to talk about alcohol and its effects not just on owners and guests, but on the dogs of all ages. But first, please listen to Karen as she talks about the services she offers as a professional dog trainer in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding towns.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Hi, this is Karen Fazio. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. Today we're going to be talking about New Year's Eve and some of the scary sounds and events that might take place in your home or in your neighborhood that might be affecting your dog. I just want to let you know that our phone lines are open. If you have any questions about the behavior of your pet, feel free to give us a call at 856-227-1360. Again, the number is 856-227-1360. As I mentioned before, I'm going to start this segment about New Year's Eve, and I could remember one very scary moment that I had when I moved into a new neighborhood. I didn't really know much about what the traditions were in that neighborhood for New Year's Eve, but, you know, the clock struck 12, you know, I could hear people, yay, you know, it was like a normal neighborhood, and I decided, you know what, I think I'll go take my dog out for a walk, and my shepherd is afraid of fireworks and things like that. And I mean, we didn't even get to the sidewalk, and my neighbors across the street started lighting all these loud fireworks. I mean, I felt like I was walking through a war zone. My dog was hysterical. I didn't know where to turn. He tried to get, ran back into the house. I mean, the poor thing was frightened out of his mind. And, you know, in hindsight, I wish that when I moved into the neighborhood that I might have asked my neighbors, you know, what happens here on New Year's Eve? What do you guys do? You know, you like fireworks? Do you have any, you know, fun things that you do? Because at least I would have been prepared had I known they were going to light fireworks. I could have played some loud music and played a game with my dog while that was going on and spared him the trauma of actually being right out there in the thick of it. But I want to talk about some of the other scary things that happen on New Year's Eve. I mean, it could be a fun play time. I mean, most New Year's Eve events that I've attended, you know, have been, you know, dinner parties and things like that. It hasn't been out of control. But I also have been to some really crazy parties where, you know, people have noisemakers and who's getting drunk and this, you know, the house is crowded wall to wall with people, especially young people. You know, young adults having parties, you know, if they have a puppy in the house, or even an older dog. This could be a really scary time. So I kind of want to go through these things one by one. And first I want to tackle the scary sounds. If you think that you're going to have a party or there's going to be scary sounds in your neighborhood that your dog is frightened of, you might, you know, wish to, you know, board the dog somewhere in a safer and more quiet environment to spare the dog the trauma. Or, you know, you could put him in a room with a bone or something nice. Or simply just eliminate the noisemakers. I mean, it's not really necessary to have all this stuff. Especially if you have a young puppy, you know, if you could spare 1 year without having all this noise and chaos, you could be setting your dog up for a life of success. So you really want to be careful how you handle that. The other thing I wanted to talk about is alcohol. And, you know, a lot of things happen when people drink. They become happy, they become angry, they become loud, they become unstable, they may not walk the same, they may not smell the same to our dogs. And this sudden change can be quite frightening. I mean, my owner doesn't smell the same. My owner's not walking the same. You know, all these people are acting differently, and they were acting different, you know, only an hour ago. So you want to kind of keep alcohol to a minimum. I mean, if you can, if you think you're going to be doing some hardcore drinking and partying, again, either ask a neighbor or a family friend that's not having a big crowded party to take your dog for the night so that it could be in a quiet environment. Eliminate the alcohol and serve punch instead or soda or something else. Or you can even board your dog. But I suggest that you kind of, you know, keep an eye on that. If people start getting a little bit more rowdy and, you know, you don't have an opportunity now to board the dog because now it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night and, you know, your friends are getting rowdy or you're getting rowdy. You know, you may want to put the dog in a bedroom or somewhere that it's quiet and it can relax without having to be subject to all these things. Another issue is the crowds, and I see this a lot in small dogs. You know, we have the dog, and it's, you know, kept in the house, and the house is very quiet all the time, and we get few visitors, you know, but once a year we have this big bash. That could be a real shock. It could be a shock to any dog. It could be a shock to a puppy. It could be a shock to an adult dog. So, you know, throughout the year, I mean, it's probably a good idea to have guests over, maybe have one or two parties throughout the year, even if it's a barbecue or something, an inside house, maybe a dinner party, so that the dog could get used to crowds at a lower level. You know, it's a crowd light, you know. Have your guests maybe offer your puppy or your dog a treat or two, maybe play a game, so that the dog could get used to having people around. But it can be a very scary thing, and it could be actually dangerous if a dog is not used to a lot of people and a tail is stepped on, or, you know, somebody gets too close to the dog's bowl and the dog snaps. You really want to know your dog. And if he's not going to be able to handle a lot of people, or if he wasn't exposed to a lot of people earlier on in life and it wasn't a very positive experience, you really want to keep that in mind, especially if you have small children around. If the dog wasn't exposed to children, you know, and it's not used to the fast movements and the shrieks that kids make, you know, this could be a really scary event for your dog. And, you know, humans use hands. You know, if someone gets too close, we might, like, put our hand up or take a step back or maybe even just gently, you know, touch their chest and say, you know, just stand there. But a dog doesn't have hands, so it's going to use its mouth. And even if the dog is just, you know, nuzzling you with his nose, I mean, if somebody who's afraid of dogs might see that as an aggressive move. So you really, for everybody's safety and to have a good night, you really want to keep all these things in mind. I'd like to consider New Year's Eve on the equivalent of 4th of July. So if in the summer your dog went hysterical and was afraid of fireworks and scary sounds and all these kinds of things, you could pretty much expect the same thing on New Year's Eve with those noisemakers, which brings me to the fireworks segment. Now, not everybody has fireworks, but I'll tell you, my neighborhood does, even though they're not allowed, and it scares the living daylights out of the dogs in the neighborhood. You can hear them howling. You can hear them barking. My poor little Lucy goes hiding under the bed. So every New Year's Eve, I make sure that I am home in my house by the time midnight comes, so that I could play some music, you know, bring out some good treats, maybe get into a game, a chase game, or something fun, so that they really can't hear what's going on outside. I also close the windows, the window shades, so that if there's any bright flashes, they don't see that. So I protect my dog from all these things. So you may want to keep this in mind and try to, you know, take a little safety precautions. Know your dog. Know what it can tolerate, what it doesn't. If it doesn't tolerate something very well, you want to eliminate it, or you want to board your dog, provide him with a more quiet environment. You could even hire a pet sitter for the night. I think that's a great idea. If you have a dog walker that you use and you ask if maybe they could come over for an hour or two and spend time with your dog, that way you can enjoy your guests while they entertain the dog or comfort it and take care of it while you're having a good time as well. I mean, that's an awesome idea too, and it's probably pretty reasonable, depending on who you're using. What are your suggestions, Rene?
Oh, Karen.
I know you want to talk about the housebreaking thing and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, but Karen, you brought up a great point, and I want to tell you and everybody else a little story, and maybe this will make an impression on everybody's brain. You talked about the smell of alcohol being a very strange odor to most dogs. And also, I have to also mention perfume can have the same reaction, by the way. But I worked with a boxer a couple years ago, an adult female boxer. At the time, I think that she was about 8 years old. And in her younger life, she had a couple of aggressive incidents, but hadn't shown any kind of an aggression for like 5 years. And she was doing very well. The owners were very social people, and they had lots of parties throughout the year. It was just their normal behavior, and they liked having parties. And the dogs were always included in those parties. One evening they had a large party, and one of the guests was totally unknown to the dogs. It was her first time there, and unfortunately this guest drank way too much, and she thought it would be a fun thing to go over to this female boxer, and she was drunk. She picked up her front paws and put her paws over her shoulders.
Oy.
And then she put her arm around the dog's back and began dancing with the dog. And then very suddenly, she found herself minus most of her nose.
Wow.
Yeah. Very, very sad situation for the dog. And there was a lawsuit. This drunk woman then turned around and contacted a lawyer and sued these people for whatever she could get, which I think, you know, I don't know. It's just a shame because that was a total setup for the dog.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, so you got to be very careful when you're drinking. And you know, leave your dogs, like you said, leave them in another room, have a pet sitter, take them to their house. But don't include your dog in parties like that, because somebody somewhere is going to do something really stupid.
Right.
So you brought up some excellent, excellent points, Karen.
Thank you. Do you mind if we take a short break?
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay, I'd like to let our audience know what kind of services that you offer in the South Jersey area as a trainer and professional behavior consultant.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is your dog in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? You have adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning again, everybody. This is Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and you're listening to Thursday in the Doghouse on WNJC, 1360 AM. I want to remind all of you dog lovers out there, if you have any questions or comments or anything that you want to talk to us about dogs today, you're welcome to give us a call at 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. What I'd like to focus on this morning is house training. You know, it's not all that simple, and a lot of people will bring a puppy home, and right away they're giving the puppy way too much freedom to roam around the house, and then they don't understand why the puppy is having so many accidents. So I'm going to start from square one as to how to get started with absolute positive reinforcement house training, and I hope that you guys will take notes because it's a little long, but I want you to get the details correct. So, number one, I want you to avoid free feeding your puppy. That means that you're keeping food down in the dog's bowl all day long. Dogs aren't grazers. And according to the veterinarians who have helped educate me over the past 10 years, they have told me that their digestive system is not set up for grazing. Dogs are predators who will eat when food is available. And when you're in the wild, food is never available on a 24/7 schedule. Also, all of the dogs I've met who are free-fed wind up losing their appetites because food ceases to be something they view as valuable. We want our puppies and dogs to learn that we produce the food that they eat in order for them to survive. That makes us become hugely important to our puppies and dogs. The other thing, too, about free feeding is that it prevents the puppy's digestive system from developing any kind of schedule because we're feeding that digestive system all the time. I highly recommend puppy owners keep a house training log. You need to get into the habit of checking off when your dog has eliminated outside and when she or he has eliminated inside. And as you make entries into your log, you'll begin to see a schedule develop that'll alert you how often your puppy needs to be taken out and at what times to expect your puppy to need to pee or poop.
I love that idea.
Yeah, it works very, very well, believe me.
Great idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Also want to tell you that you need to set your oven timer to remind you to take your puppy out. Maybe you'll have to take your puppy out every 15 to 20 minutes. Maybe you'll have to take your puppy out every half hour. I worked with a little Havanese puppy the other day, really, really tiny dog. Man, she could hold it for 2 hours. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
But every dog is an individual, and so you have to get to know what your own dog needs. I want you to remember to bring your puppy to its toileting area on the leash. Don't just let him out and hope that he'll go, because he probably won't. I want you to walk him back and forth, periodically reminding him to go potty. Don't give him freedom to play or run around in your yard, or he'll become distracted and he'll forget to go. Puppies are very distractible, so keep your puppy focused on the task at hand. Once puppy has eliminated, then you can play with him for a little while, or you can even take him for a walk. But teach him that any time he goes out your door, the first thing he has to do is to go potty. I want you to be sure to give your puppy a delicious food reward within a half a second of your puppy getting up out of its squat. That treat will motivate your puppy to eliminate outside, where he gets something wonderful to eat after eliminating, versus getting nothing if he eliminates inside the house. Now, here's a very common scenario. You go and take your puppy out for its potty break. You're sure he has to do something because it's been quite a while. You're out there in the freezing cold weather for about 10 minutes, and puppy just doesn't seem to want to go. He's listening to the wind, or he's found a leaf to chase, and he found a leaf to put in his mouth. Then you give up, and you bring him right back into the warm house. As soon as puppy comes inside, what does he do? He pees right in front of you on that beautiful new mat you have right by the back door. No, he didn't pee just to be spiteful. And he certainly didn't pee because he's being stubborn. He just got distracted and forgot to go. When your puppy came into the warm house, he remembered that his bladder was full and he found a very absorbent surface he could go on. So how do you prevent this situation from happening again? Well, listen up. If puppy doesn't eliminate within those 10 minutes of being taken outside, what I want you to do is bring him right back into the house, and you can put him in his crate with a couple of toys and even a chew toy, because being put in his crate for this is not a punishment. This is just a way of controlling your puppy, and hopefully he's keeping his crate clean, so when you put him in the crate, he will not want to soil it. I want you to keep him in that crate for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then take him back outside, and I'll bet you everything that he'll wind up going potty pretty quickly. Most importantly, never, ever punish your puppy for having a house training accident. We never want our puppies to think eliminating in front of us is a punishable offense. Otherwise, what could happen is your puppy will grow up thinking it's dangerous to go potty whenever you are around. And what he'll do is he'll sneak out of your visual range in order to do his business. Believe it or not, people are still rubbing their puppy's nose in their excrement. My goodness, we'd never do that to an infant, would we? Why on earth would anyone do something that horrible to a puppy? So, listen, when you house train your dog, management is critically important. You don't want to give that puppy any kind of freedom to roam around the house without supervision. That's kind of like letting a 2-year-old toddler roam around without a diaper. Not only that, if you had a 2-year-old toddler, just because that baby is a human, you're going to know right away you don't want that baby to get into trouble. You don't want that baby to get into any kind of room where he might find a scissors or a knife or something dangerous that he could put into his mouth. So we associate humans. We understand what human needs are. Well, those needs are pretty much very similar to what a puppy would need.
Hey, Rena, can I input something?
Sure.
It's my experience. It's my impression that in addition to teaching the puppy where to go, we're also training a bladder, and we're also training the dog's organs on how to detect the sensation of how to go and how to hold it for longer periods of time. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we could let our dogs out 20 times a day, but that doesn't necessarily mean training success. So, you know, when you are housebreaking a dog, you know, the first goal is to teach it where to go, where to appropriately eliminate. But one of the key things there is teaching that dog that as soon as you feel the sensation, you don't have to let it go. You know, you can hold it for a little while. And what happens is that, you know, we start to really strengthen the sphincter valve and the organs of that dog so that it can hold urine and it can hold excrement for longer periods of time. And that's key in what Renee said earlier about when you bring the dog back in, you put it back in its crate. Because you didn't give the dog the opportunity to urinate on the carpet when you came in, it had to go in its crate and it's not going to urinate there. So in with Rainey's technique, you're actually training the bladder to hold that urine for a longer period of time.
There's another issue too, Karen, where a lot of people will wake the puppy up during the middle of the night to go. And I kind of think that that's a mistake if the puppy is still sleeping. Because if you wake the puppy up once or twice during the night, you know, and the puppy's not even moving, he's still sleeping, there again, you're not going to help that sphincter muscle develop overnight. So you have to start eliminating that issue as fast as you can. If the puppy whines or cries, you may want to let it whine maybe for a minute or two before taking him out. But here's the other thing. If you wind up taking your puppy out after it's whined or barked and the puppy goes out and doesn't go potty, I can swear to you that the next night he'll do the same thing because he got your attention and he got to get out of his crate and he got to have a little break outside or wherever. Make sure that if you're taking your puppy out in the middle of the night, not to make any kind of excitement during that time. If your puppy eliminates, don't give him a treat, but you can quietly praise him. And put him right back in the crate as soon as he's done, bring him right in the house, put him in the crate, and that's the end of it. So don't play with him. Don't stay on the sofa and let him sleep with you there, or your puppy will wake you up every single night forever and ever. They learn very quickly.
We don't want that.
No, we don't. But the other thing I started to say is if you bring your puppy in and you feel badly about putting him in his crate, because he hadn't eliminated outside, the other thing you can do is take his leash and tie it to the belt loop of your jeans. And so your puppy could be tethered to you. And whither thou goest, I will go for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And it's very doubtful that the puppy will eliminate as he's walking around with you and being very close to you or lying there next to you if you've tethered him under a chair. Tethering is a very good tool to use. We can talk about that in another program, but tethering is a very good thing to do for certain things as long as the puppy is being 100% supervised.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely don't like dogs that are tied outside. That just makes me very nervous because a lot of bad stuff can happen.
I also want to mention one other thing, and that's, you know, when your puppy is indoors, you know, even though it's making mistakes, really focus in on what your puppy's doing. You know, is it sniffing the ground before it, you know, urinates on your carpet? Is it going around in circles? You know, as you mentioned earlier, is he going into another room? I mean, these are little cues that you can use to prevent mistakes in the future because the dog will exhibit that behavior over and over again. So if you see the dog is, you know, playing a game and all of a sudden it walks away from you and starts to sniff the floor.
Right.
Now that's the time to grab the leash, put the leash on the dog, take him outside, and let him do his business, and then you could come back in and continue your game.
Yeah, one of the behaviors that I talk about to clients that may alert that the puppy has to go potty is when the puppy is playing with the children and there's a lot of excitement going on, puppy doesn't realize he has to go potty because he's kind of ignoring it for a minute or two, and then all of a sudden puppy becomes very bitey, starts biting and running around and acting like a total lunatic. So that's an indication, too, that puppy probably has to go potty. And the other thing it could be indicating is that puppy's getting overly tired and needs a nap. Just like a kid getting into that devilish type of behavior or having a tantrum. And usually it's because the child or the puppy has gotten overly stimulated and needs to be put in its crate for a nap. And I'm all for putting puppies into a crate, you know, at random times during the day because they need naps just like any other infant would need a nap, you know. So we have about a minute left, and I hope that today's program was educational and informative to our puppy owners and to anyone who's thinking about having a wild and crazy time during during New Year's Eve. And so Karen and I are going to come up with another subject for next week. And please keep our number on in your phone book to give us a call at any time during our show. Let me repeat that number once more before we close. It's 856- 877-227-1360. We will invite you to call in again next week, and we hope that we start getting calls. And we'll talk about some more interesting stuff.
You can contact us on our websites at jerseydogtrainer.com and mybestfrienddogschool.com. If you have a suggestion for a show that you would, or a topic that you would like to, for us to discuss, we'd love to hear from you.
Wonderful. Karen, I hope you have a great week, and I hope everybody out there has a wonderful and happy and healthy new year. And good luck with your puppies, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm glad you're home. Where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop.